Good morning. It's good to see you all here this morning. We're starting our third installment of the Discipleship Masterclass. I just barely touched that and it moved along. Very good. Anyway, so the first installment was Ariel was sharing with us about the importance of witnessing and sharing our faith in community. And the second week, last week, Jono shared about the importance of getting our nose into God's Word and reading God's Word. He gave us a few really good tips on how to read God's Word. This week, we're looking at service, serving. It's a key area that we can be focus on and be mindful of. And I was so glad that Glenys, even though she's later on in years, more mature, can I say that? That's all right, isn't it? But she's reassessing what she's doing for this next year. She's not just saying, oh, I'm going to do the same old. She's reassessing and working out, what am I going to focus on? What's important? What do I need to align myself with? And as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been given so much from God. We've been blessed from God out of sight. And what do we do as a response for what God has given us? And one of the responses is to serve with our whole heart, a mind, and love Him, and just joyfully give of ourselves for Him. Now, I grew up in a large family. There's five boys in my family, no girls. And there was a goal. We, all the boys, sort of worked out that we were to try and do as little as possible. We were avoiding all work that we could, and it almost turned into a game. Have you ever played this game? If the landline rings, everyone's in the lounge room, the landline rings, the first one to move loses because they've got to go and answer the phone, right? Have you ever played that game? You know, you don't even turn your head, you just move your eyes to see what other people are doing because you're obviously so busy to answer the phone. Or if there's a knock on the door, well, no one wants to go and answer the door, so it's probably someone you don't want to talk to. And so you don't move, you're just frozen and just waiting for the first person to crack. And The goal was to do the bare minimum. And talking about minimums, I've got a mini mum who's about under 5 foot tall, and she had to deal with these five boys. And she tried rosters, she tried rules, she tried little stickers that when we were younger, and she tried asking nicely. And the thing I remember about my mum was her last piece of resistance against our lack of activity. And she had a tea towel and a little poster. And even Katrina remembers this hanging up in my mum's kitchen. It's a thing, I don't know if you can read it, but whose job is it? This is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anyone could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. And I remember that, and to maintain a well-run household or an organization, or whether you're at home or work or school or in a sports club, roles need to be fulfilled. Work needs to happen to make things happen, even in church. If people don't get involved and don't serve in their area of strength, then the whole community suffers, and the whole group suffers. So what does God say about how we should serve, what we should do, how we should get involved? What's God's goal for us? Well, it does say, it's not just about a Nike just do it. It's not get to work because you should. There's a deeper purpose behind our service for God. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, it says, God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. The NIV says, he chose us to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where it's like Jesus is the master mold. Have you seen a jelly mold? And we're not pressed into this mold. We're not heated up and jammed into the mold to make the impression of the mold. No, we have to be conformed. It's a personal willingness to be like the Lord Jesus. It's our choice to become more like the Lord Jesus, to bend and to yield and to shape ourselves to be more like the Lord Jesus. And we call this the process of sanctification, to be made holy, to be made more like the Lord Jesus. And God can only take us as far as our free will allows to make us more like the Lord Jesus. God will bring along circumstances and areas that need to be addressed, but unless we're willing to mold and bend and ask God's help, then we won't be transformed or be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Mark 10, for even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So what does God want to develop in us? He wants us to develop in us a service attitude. Not to be served, but to serve. Not to get, but to give. To have a servant heart. And as we're serving with a servant heart, we're pointing to the Lord Jesus and saying, hey, this is a God job that God's working in me. It's not me. I'm just making myself available for God to work. I want God to be glorified in this. And doesn't this just go against the normal worldly hierarchy of today, where pride and ego and stepping up the ladders of status to make ourselves look good, to be very image conscious? Isn't that what this world is like? Very image conscious. God's goal for us is to be like Jesus and follow in his example of service. Martin Luther said these things: the idea that service to God should only have to do with a church altar, singing, reading the Bible, sacrifice, and the like is without the doubt the worst trick of the devil. How could the devil have led us more effectively astray than by the narrow conception that the service of God takes place only in the church and by works done therein. The whole world could abound with services to the Lord, not only in churches, but also in our homes, in the kitchen, in the workshops, out in the fields. We can serve God anywhere and any time. In fact, this goes on to emphasize what Ephesians 4 says, that service is for everybody. Now, church leaders or ministers of religion are called ministers. And it comes from the same base word as to serve. And it's the same core word. But what do church leaders have to do? They're not to do all the work. They are to equip and enable people for works of service. So Christ himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service. That's everyone in this room. We're all to be active in our service of the Lord. At work, at school, at uni, at the sports that we play, in the hobbies that we do and the people that we connect in with our common interests. He wants to be involved in that. And so it goes on that the body of Christ may be built up. And there's a whole list of there of the outward focus of people who would serve and get involved. God wants people everywhere to connect with him and to share that with other people. We're all called to serve. Did anyone get a Christmas present this year? This last year? Yeah, you got a Christmas. Have you opened them all? You've all opened your Christmas presents. That's good. One Christmas present I've received is a compost bin, and it requires me to dig a hole in the ground about half a meter square and half a meter deep, because it's a submerged compost and worms can come and go as they please. It's like a dine-in for worms. And I haven't opened that Christmas present yet because it requires some effort. It requires me to go out in the garden with a shovel or a spade and to get my hands dirty. And so I haven't opened them. But the Christmas presents that are the best Christmas presents, or apologies to Caleb who gave me that compost bin. I haven't got to it, but I will get to it soon. Okay. The best presents are the ones that are opened, the ones that are used. And our Bible reading today that Glenys read, God has given us a spiritual gift, and he wants us not to just put that spiritual gift onto the sideboard or the bench or the desk and say, I'll get to that later. That requires a bit of effort. He wants us to rip that wrapping off. He wants us to rip the outer box off, and he wants us to get involved. He wants us to discover the intricacies of this gift. Read through the instruction manual. See how it works. Become a master at how your gift works. The thing that comes to mind here is someone I know, a guy was given a coffee roaster. And he opened that coffee roaster and he read the instructions and he became a master at coffee roasting. And some of us have been blessed, if you drink coffee out in church, have been blessed to reap the rewards of that passion for coffee. He has opened his gift and he's put it to good use. In fact, I'm sure if it had a life expectancy, it's been reduced by a few years because he's powering those beans through that coffee roaster. And so it's good to see. And nothing gives this person more satisfaction when he sees someone drink a cup of coffee and say, they appreciate what has been done for them. It's been used. The gift has been used, and it's taken a while and a time to develop and make it into something really worthwhile. Peter started off this passage that we read this morning by "the end is near." We have limited time here on this earth. We've got a limited resource of time. And so there's a sense of urgency to get our gifts into action. There's a sense of urgency to apply our gifts and use them for God's glory. Peter was writing to a persecuted church that was spread all over the known world. And he wanted people to show God at work in their lives, to use their God-given gifts to serve others. And God has given each one of you a spiritual gift, a gift that you can use. You know, and it's not a gift that is a drudgery or a pain to do. When you get a gift that you appreciate, and God's given you a gift just perfect, just for you, it's a joy to put this gift into practice and develop it. And with God's strength, you can see God at work in a very real way. Use it to serve others. You know what? You've got a gift, but the person right next to you, they've got a gift as well. And so if they've got a gift, you know, we've got to be willing to be served by others. I'm sometimes too independent and self-reliant. And sometimes I find it hard to accept help from other people. And I'm denying other people the use of their spiritual gift. And how sad is that? People don't get the joy of sharing their gift with me because I'm so stubborn and self-reliant. We need to be willing to be served by other people too. That's not to go to the extent of whenever a job comes up, you freeze and you just look either which way to see who's going to break first. It's a matter of saying, acknowledging, this person has a gift of music, and so I want them to serve me with their spiritual gifts, give me joy and encouragement and move forward. Sometimes God wants us to serve in an area where we didn't think we should be, or we didn't want to be involved, or we feel inadequate. Remember Moses? He grew up in Egypt's royal courts, got educated, and he ended up being a sheep herder out in the wilderness. But God had other plans to be a people herder, to gather his people together and to lead them into freedom and into to be God's holy people. Maybe it's not a matter of God wanting you to do something that you don't want to do. Maybe we just don't see an opportunity to serve. And so you might want to say, you know, I'm not doing much. Maybe I should ask, what should I be involved in? Sometimes God leads us to where we don't see an opportunity, but God gives us a real passion to get involved and be a part remember Nehemiah. He was the cupbearer to the king. And he changed from being a humble cupbearer. Now, how many skills are needed to bring a cup of juice to someone and to serve them properly, to administering God's people, for rebuilding his walls of his city of Jerusalem. We have a spiritual gift and God wants us to use it. He wants us to discover it. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, maybe you need to look at a little helpful tool like the Shape Course, which looks at your spiritual gifts, your heart, your ability, your personality type, and your past experiences, because they all have a part of how you can serve God in his kingdom. And so get involved, ask questions, come and see the leaders. How can I serve? How can I help? How can I play a part? Here's some serving points. God is glorified when we do anything with thankfulness, with integrity, with our whole heart, with our passion. These are scripture verses that starts off with whatever you do. And it's something, the first one is whatever you do. It's simply in 1 Corinthians 10, it says something simple as eating and drinking, you can glorify God. And so glorify God in whatever you do. Do in the name of God, giving thanks to God. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart. Whatever you do, do it with the strength God provides. In Romans 12, it says this from verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. When we give of ourselves, whatever we do, have in the back of the mind, I'm going to glorify God in this. I'm going to do this in God's strength, not my strength. I want this to honor the Lord Jesus. A theologian called Robert Banks describes Christians coming together in a local church is like a birthday party. Now, I didn't see you get your birthday hats on when you came in, or your little blowers that you make a big noise. With a birthday party, everyone comes in the door bringing a gift, don't they? The only difference is that in the church, the gift is not for one person. The gift that you bring is for everybody. Everybody is the beneficiary of the gift that you can bring to this church. Can you imagine what a church would be like if everyone used their spiritual gift? If everyone played their part with enthusiasm and passion and joy and just a willingness to get in there and not say, what can I get out of this today? But what can I contribute? How can I play a part? It reminds me of the Acts 2 church that just started up. There was a real energy and a dynamic attitude that came around with this church. Everyone was devoted to God's word and to fellowship and coming together. Everyone had a commitment to breaking bread and remembering the Lord and to a commitment to prayer. There was a common need to learn and a hunger to grow in Christ, praising and glorifying God, a real energy for service. How can I help? An enthusiasm for God's community. And people sacrificially giving of themselves to help the caring for others. And there was a real expectation to see God at work. This year, as we taste and see and prove God to be alive and active in our lives, let us, like Glenys, just assess, what are we going to put our hand to this year? How are we going to serve God? In what way? Is it something simple like putting the chairs out or setting up a microphone and putting a cable in? Or is it packing up or welcoming someone at the door? Is it something simple like ringing someone up throughout the week and say, how are you traveling? Simple things. How are we going to conform ourselves, willingly move and bend ourselves to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, to follow in his example of service for his glory? I'm going to pray now, and we're going to leave the online people and just consider how we can share later on in our open time of worship. And it'd be good if people who don't normally share just feel, hey God, thanks for doing this for me. Thanks for the ministry of this thing that maybe hands and feet or something like that, or for someone who's affected you. Let's bring honor and glory to God. But let's bow and pray first. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given each one of us gifts and abilities to be used for your honor and your kingdom, that your name will be lifted up. And I just pray that we as a church might experience this dynamic engagement that the Acts 2 church experienced, that we might be able to see people being able to use their gifts in a way that honors you and lifts up the body of Christ to lift your name on high. And so I thank you for your word and your encouragement to serve this morning. And I pray that you might challenge us to see how we can put our hand to honoring you this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to use Philippians 2, 5 and 8 as a resource, as a ammunition to honor and praise God this morning. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross on our behalf. Let's have an open time of sharing.